As we prepare to hear scripture on the second week of Advent, I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words are in your bulletin or on the screen. Friends, let us pray. God of light, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. We have two scripture readings today. The first is from the prophet of Isaiah from the 11th chapter. You're welcome to follow along with your pew Bible on page 847 or see the words on the screen or simply listen and allow the words to fall upon your ears. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with the righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hands on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Our second scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 12, Pew Bible, page 1171. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Friends, this is the living word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this second Sunday of Advent, we come together to hear difficult texts from the prophets' mouths. Prophets who would proclaim a word on your behalf, but also interceded on behalf of the people. Allow us this day to hear with fresh ears some harsh words to face the harsh realities of day-to-day living. When we are to seek your peace, we often seek other paths. But guide us and lead us this day, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So yes, today's texts are not easy texts. When we listen to the prophet of Isaiah, remember that he was speaking to God's chosen people who were very much getting close to going into exile under the powers of other folks. They were going to be forced away from the land that had been promised to them, their place of worship in Jerusalem, that they would be forced to reconcile what it meant to worship a God when they could not be present in their worship space. And then it was a very long time until another prophet came to proclaim a word on behalf of God and to intercede on behalf of people to God, and that was John the Baptist. We think about John the Baptist as one of those strange persons because we hear about his clothing and his eating habits. And what that calls us to is that John was actually set apart and lived apart from the culture and the community and left where he was in order to come and proclaim a word to the people to prepare them for what was to come. Now we know that John was in Elizabeth's womb at the same time that Mary was pregnant with Jesus. And when Elizabeth and Mary came together, John leapt with the Spirit within Elizabeth's womb, and John's life was inextricably bound to that of Jesus. They walked maybe different paths, but the end goal was the same: to make people aware that the kingdom of God was near. Near through the person of Jesus. The same person who was foretold by the prophet of Isaiah that there would be this new branch that would come from the stump of Jesse. And if you go to the very first chapter of Matthew, you can see the lineage of Jesus, and we can see that it traces back to Jesse. And so we can connect the words of Isaiah the prophet to that of John the Baptist. But what does that mean for us today, especially when we hear the harsh words of judgment? Of cutting down the trees that do not bear good fruit, of those who claim to have religious practices, to know what they're talking about, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to be duly reminded that it is not their job to judge, but it will be God's. You brood of vipers, you come to me to ask to receive water of baptism, a baptism of repentance. And when we think about repentance, that's not a word we often use, right? What does it mean to repent? Anybody know? What do you think, Janet? To turn away from God, or to repent is to acknowledge where we've turned away from God. To repent, what does that mean for you guys? Other thoughts? To change, right? Sometimes in our repentance, we have to first acknowledge where we are, right? Self-awareness. And sometimes we get so caught up in what we think is right that we kind of miss the mark of what God expects of us. And so the first act of repentance is one of acknowledgement of where we find ourselves and what maybe we are doing that is not intended by God. And that's when repentance means to ask for forgiveness or to acknowledge those places of our brokenness. Or as Janet said, where we've turned away from God. As Methodists, we understand sin as anything or things known and unknown that has caused us to turn away from what God intends for us. And it could be the simple turnings of our back, or when things get easy, of just living life without turning towards God. Or it could be devices or our jobs or things that absorb our time and energy, that we don't take that same time and energy to fully connect to God, to pray, to read scripture, to be in community with other folks, to see the need in the world and to meet those needs. Sin, the turning away, the separation that is never initiated by God, but fully rests on humanity's shoulders. And we need to repent of that, to remember that God is always working towards our better good. And sometimes we are to turn back to God and repent and to ask for God's peace to fall upon us. And when we think about repentance, it can be a communal repentance, right? It can be a community making a profession of those things that we collectively have failed to do. It could be repentance of the individual person who is self-aware to say, I didn't get this right. I missed the mark. So whether it's individual or communal, within, we are called to address those things with God. We make that profession, we repent, and then it pushes us to think about the gift that comes from that. I've probably mentioned this before, but Desmond Tutu's book, The Book of Forgiveness. In some of the most atrocious acts that were experienced because of apartheid in South Africa, there were atrocities against humanity. And if we check on the news today, how much is our news feed inundated with violence against individuals, violence against groups of people, power being wielded over others? We are all called to repent of that. But Desmond Tutu says that forgiveness is not necessarily looking to someone to apologize for the atrocities that they have perpetrated. It's about you. It's about finding that space where you acknowledge and you release that expectation upon that other group. It's so that you yourself may find peace. Because living a life of turmoil or struggle is not what God intends for us. That when we have these places in our lives where we have diverted or we've gone a different path and we have turned away from God, I can tell you that we are disconnected and probably not living fully within a life of peace that God offers to us. And so we are called to repent, to turn back, to pay attention, to follow the path, the prepared way that John proclaimed, to march towards the birth of a Savior who embodies what this peace can look like. And it's not peace for those in power. It's not necessarily peace for those who have the greatest wealth. It is not necessarily those who are the strongest or are the most violent in their acts. This peace is for those who are often overlooked, the ones that God truly seeks. And as I met with my Bible study on Wednesday night, I said something very clearly, that God is always on the side of the oppressed. always on the side of the oppressed. So what part is it that we have been the oppressor? What about our systems have caused oppression on others? Those are the things that we need to reconcile today. And if we think, well, I come to church, I do well, but if our walk outside the doors did not match our talk, we are no better than the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Our fruitfulness of showing God's love in the world is what is going to show and illustrate the peace that comes from knowing God, of having repented of those places in our lives where we need God to intercede for us, that we cannot do this on our own because Jesus is coming into the world. And thanks be to God for a love like that, who would give us the gift of Jesus. So as John says, I'm not worthy to hold his sandals. I simply baptize you with water, but the one who is coming will baptize you with what? The Spirit and fire. The Spirit and fire that will refine, take away those things that don't allow us to fully live into the beloved children of God. Is it comfortable? No. Does it mean that we have to confess those places? Yeah. Is it worth it? 100%. Because the peace that comes surpasses all human understanding. And that, my friends, is what we cling to. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.